you. The call is now being recorded. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the SICKWIZ PDP Working Group call on Tuesday, 11th of June, 2013. On the call today, we have Don Blumenthal, Alan Greenberg, Volker Grayman, Steve Metallett, Mikey O'Connor, and Jill Titcher. We have apologies from Susan Purser, Christopher George, Mark Anderson, and Avery Doria. And from staff, we have Marika Koenig, Lars Hoffman, Barry Cobb, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. I just see that Carolyn Huber has joined the meeting. Can I just please remind everyone to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Julia. This is Mikey trying something new today. I'm trying to run the meeting using the computer microphone, so if it drives you crazy for any reason, let me know. I'm also dialed into the bridge, and I'll just switch over to that. But I'm always interested in new stuff. Anyway, we'll do our usual pause for changes in statement of interest and taking a look at the agenda, which is really quite short today. We're just going to try and polish off a few last things in this draft and get one step closer to publishing it. So that's our focus for the day. Any changes to that that people want to do, or changes to statements of interest? Okay. Last week, we went through the draft up till about line 758 on the draft that's in front of you. I'm not syncing this, so you're on your own on getting to the right spot. And it dawned on me just as I logged on this morning that I really should have taken a go at the summaries that appear right at the front so that you could have reviewed those today. My apologies. I think we're close enough now that we can basically cut and paste together the summary parts of the document, and we'll certainly have that done by next week. And if I'd been on the ball, I would have had that done for you. So really today, all we're going to do is go through the last few changes, and let me sort of set the stage as to how this worked last week. We sort of had three categories. We said, well, okay, there are things that we will accept because they're relatively minor and non-substantive changes that didn't seem to cause any controversy. There are things that we just absolutely don't think are a good idea, and then there are things that we'll defer. And many of the sort of substantive comments that came in went into that defer category. And what we'll do is pull those into the public comment cycle on the initial draft. So it's not that anything's going to go away necessarily. It's just that given the lateness of the hour in this review and the fact that we are starting to get pretty light attendance because people have really felt like they've done the heavy lifting on the initial draft, that seemed like the best way to proceed. So that's what we're going to do again this week, starting at line 758 on the draft that's in front of you. And if you look at the draft that came in Word, which is also up on my screen, the numbers are just a little bit different there at 7:45, so that they're close enough that you can probably find your way in either document. But I'll try to refer to the ones that are on the screen. And this first one is a comment from Marika that this is the section about essentially the cost impacts, and what we're talking about is sort of our guess as to how big a project this is going to be. And one of the things that Marika highlights with a comment is saying that in our sentence, we say the work group anticipates a highly automated process that will be used to transfer and populate contact data, which is likely to require minimal training or manual intervention. Marika is saying this may not be completely accurate. What happens if the registrars who do nothing? Some may not undertake any action until they are threatened with termination. And I think this is one I would nominate for the let's defer pile and flesh this out a bit. I think until we've got a little bit better sense from the registries and registrars as to how this process is going to work, it's really hard to evaluate this. The little subgroup that was basically me and Rick and Barry sort of envisioned that the registrars probably wouldn't have to do a whole lot because there would be some data store either based on backup data or from escrow data. This process would be pretty automated. So I'd rather not try and over-engineer this one right now, but Marika's got her hand up and so does Alan. So we'll go to Marika first. And then to Alan.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe a suggestion would be to actually remove the word minimal. I think that at least takes the suggestion away that, you know, we'll really take no effort at all to do this and just suggest it's the training or manual intervention. And then, as you said, then as part of the review of comments received, the working group may want to consider whether anything further is needed. But I think at this stage, like, the minimal really seems to suggest that it's really no big deal. While I think our comment as well, maybe there are some more things that need to be considered. So maybe just removing that word will actually already address that point and at least give the working group an opportunity as part of the final report to either add more details here or, you know, potentially add back in the minimal if you feel that indeed it's no big effort to do so.
Okay. Alan, go ahead.
I think the phrase that Marika highlighted is waving a big red flag at bulls. it's demanding to be challenged and easily challenged, and I think it's ill-advised. I would simply stop the statement, the sentence at the comma, perhaps adding a work group anticipates that in most cases, a highly automated process will be used, or something like that, and leave it at that. We've highlighted training and manual intervention. There's all sorts of other things which may cause problems. Certainly, exception handling, and you know, there's going to be stuff that we may not have foreseen. But I think saying that in a general case, it's going to be a highly automated process is sufficient. Identifying two particular things like this is, first of all, not an inclusive list, and second of all, is demanding to be challenged. I don't see any merit in it.
And I'm seeing an agreement from Kim. So, Marika, let's see. So let's stop at the comma. Again, the work group anticipates a highly automated process will be used to transfer and populate contact data, and then some sort of clause after that.
Well, add in most cases, or in the general case.
You know, the working group Alan, go ahead.
I was saying just you can either put generally somewhere near the beginning or in most cases or in the general case in the end. There's going to be exceptions. We know there are.
Yeah, why don't we just do that? Why don't we just say, again, the working group generally anticipates a highly automated process and then end at the comma. That seems like a good way through that. Okay. Let's see. Next is on 808 in Word Draft, 822, and where we're here again, we're in the synchronization migration section. Sorry, I don't know if you guys are seeing the screen go up and down. I'm hoping not as I roll up and down. And the context is the working group notes that the proposed 2013 registrar accreditation agreement provides for instead of recommends. Now, are we at proposed still or are we done? I can't keep these straight. Is the 13 RAA done or still proposed? Alan, go ahead.
It's not approved yet and approved by the board, but the draft is done, and that provides. If the 2013 RAA never kicks in, that's a different issue. But
So I think this one's fine.
The world could end too.
Yeah, it could. Okay, so on to 839 on this same page on the screen. Let's see, this is a comment, right? Is this new language or is this a comment only? Looks like it's new language added on to the issue description.
It doesn't break exactly. So there's a language added here, and I think this is probably one of the areas where some concern was expressed that this is taking a new or different approach to what the sub-team discussed. So basically what I've only done is indeed added this to the issue description and added a note saying that, you know, if the working group would agree or support this view, we may need to make a couple of additional changes in the rest of the text. But I haven't done that, you know, anticipating that, you know, this may be one of the issues where the working group wants to have a closer look as part of the second round. I think the only thing that would need to be recognized, because I think it does say somewhere that, you know, there's no official ICANN policy statement on this question. But I think what we are saying, I'm not saying that this is the official policy statement, but we are identifying at least what is currently in the agreements or the discrepancy that exists there. So maybe it can at least be acknowledged as a point that needs to be further discussed.
Steve, this is your baby, right? Weren't you the chair of this subgroup? I'll blather on for a while, but if you want to... Go ahead, Steve.
On authoritativeness?
Yeah.
Yeah, my concern here was that all of these comments don't necessarily go to authoritativeness, but rather to accuracy, currentness. It's not the same thing. Authoritativeness is just, do we have an agreement on which one will be followed? I think we have a definition, a working definition in there. It isn't necessary. I mean, in ideally, that should be the most accurate and up-to-date one, but it isn't necessarily. So I think it's a different issue. I was a bit concerned about bringing it in so long after we thought we'd finished discussing authoritativeness.
Yeah, I one of the difficulties here is that we had a pretty active, engaged subgroup, which is, you know, pretty much disbanded now. So I'd be inclined. I'm ignoring the cue. Alan, go ahead, and then I'll opine. Go ahead.
That's all right. I don't mind you pontificating before I pontificate. but if you'd like me to go ahead, I will. I have a problem with this, not so much by what it says, but the wording it uses. To start off with, the registrars who is output may not be definitive. There may be multiple registrars who is output if you look around. Number two, you cannot presume that you are looking at the right registrar unless you look at the registries who is data, which, among other things, in a thick who is includes all the contact information, but also says which registrar is the registrar who is actually sponsoring the domain from the registry's point of view. So, and it probably doesn't matter because it's, you know, we are surviving thick who is all over the place and will continue to. So I wouldn't add a statement like this, certainly not worded the way it is, because it adds more confusion than it fixes.
Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. I was suggesting in the chat, and maybe a way around this is to actually include a kind of footnote where we explain that, you know, authoritativeness is not to be confused with accuracy, and maybe just highlight that, you know, in this scenario there may be cases where the authoritative data may not necessarily be the most accurate data because of, you know, this discrepancy between possible updates. I don't know if that highlighting that in the footnote may as well provide a clarification for others reading this and maybe making similar assumptions that, you know, authoritativeness is the same as being, you know, the most accurate or most up-to-date data, so that we just possibly highlight that. And as I said, and maybe as well take out that statement that talks about ICANN not having taken an official position, although I don't think there is one, but I'm not sure whether, but calling that out here, knowing that we have made some comments, will confuse things even more. So just a suggestion.
Thanks, Marika. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, do we actually have any evidence to suggest that registrar data is more accurate than registry data in the thick whois environment? It may be more current, but the current information may be inaccurate. So I think this just makes an assumption that we don't have any evidence for. Maybe we do. I'm not aware of it.
Thanks, Steve. I think maybe I'll just run through the queue and sort of see where we wind up. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I support a footnote for any of these kind of things to illustrate how complex the situation is if we needed to go to it, but we probably don't. We've been told multiple times that when registries receive court orders, they may change the whois, and it might be a thick whois, and it may be changed in substantive ways, not only changing the registrar, and it may or may not be pushed in any specific case to the registrar and to the correct registrar. So I have a real problem with making blanket statements, so I support the concept of a footnote to illustrate the complexity, but let's not make any simple statements when simplicity may not rule in all cases.
Yeah. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'd be fine with the footnote as well. I think for me, the issue of authoritativeness is actually a legal question, because that's really what it amounts to is when there's a conflict, when there's a difference, you know, which database is going to be the one considered the default or the accurate or the one that the data we're going to use or rely on. And as I've said quite a while ago, that maybe not in most of the agreements between registries and registrars, but I know certainly in some, the registry, the thick registry has even stated that if there is a conflict, the registry's data is actually the one that is going to be relied on or considered to be correct. So whether it specifically addresses authoritativeness or not, I think that's really the issue, is if the databases conflict, which one is going to be considered the correct data. So in a lot of ways, it's sort of a legal question and not so much about accuracy, although I agree that as we're trying to decide who should be authoritative, you know, to try to solve that question, you know, leaning towards the most accurate database might be part of the issue, although I think, though, that it may also be that what's practical in a fixed whois situation may be that the registry should be authoritative. So the question then is, how do we make them the more accurate database? So those are some of my thoughts, but I support a footnote because, again, it's a complicated subject. There's a lot of issues, and we're not going to be able to resolve them all right here before we get this report done.
Thanks, Tim. Volker?
Yes. Actually, I just wanted to say much of the same Tim did. I think it's not a problem of which one is the more current database, but rather the accuracy of which database is to be relied upon as a legal concept of when determining who has ownership of a domain name. From my registrar perspective, we have always treated the registry database as the authoritative database, i.e. if there was divergence between our database, either because it has not been transmitted to the registry yet or because the registry made a change that we were not aware of. In each and every case, we assume that the registry is the correct database, and any change that has not yet been transmitted to the registry is simply not yet authoritative, to use the word.
Okay, folks, here's my thought. I think we're pretty much in agreement that this phrase should get pulled from the body of the report. I'm a little reluctant to put a footnote in. I would rather have this come back to us in essentially the next round of comments, fleshed out with the nuance that we've just talked off in this call. One of the things I think we just did is we've repeated a lot of the ground that's covered in other parts of this section. And I really am reluctant to try and wordsmith a footnote given the number and types of issues that we've got with this language. I'd much rather have it come back so that when the group is really at full strength again and we're really back in intense analysis mode, we can do justice to this rather than winging it right here at the end. So unless anybody just goes crazy, I think I'd like to put this in what Barry and I started calling the punch list and bring it back around after the, along with the comments. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm still wondering if just a very simple footnote to really make sure that people understand what we're talking about, which could just say, and when you talk about authoritative and just have a footnote, say, this concept is not to be confused with accuracy, which is a different discussion or a different debate, just to point that out as a very basic concept, nothing more, nothing less. I don't know if that's something that would help the reader at least understand what this is about and indeed not confuse the two concepts and having us address maybe a lot of comments that we could have prevented by a very short statement on that topic.
I'm edgy. I don't want to rule too harshly here, but I feel like we're crafting something pretty important on the fly right at the end, and I'd rather take a few more comments. If people are confused, I'd rather have them say, what do you mean? And then get more grist for that editing job that we do on the far side of the thing. But I'll go to Alan and Steve in the queue and see where we wind up.
Yeah, thank you. I would support, I don't feel strongly on it, but I would certainly support and agree to a comment simply noting that the two are often confused. But I put my hand because I have a question. When you say put it on the punch list, are you saying take the new text out and then reconsider it later or leave it in and reconsider it later?
No, take it out.
Okay, thank you.
And consider it later. Steve, go ahead.
I tend to agree with you, Mikey, but I'm hearing from Marika that somebody read this and was confused and thought that authoritativeness was the same as accuracy. So I'm if she can craft a footnote that would clarify that for whoever was confused about it, we could take a look at that.
All right. Well, let's leave it like that then. Let's see if I think part of the issue with this particular text is that there's a lot more going on in there than just, the heads up about authoritative versus accuracy. And I tend to defer to Steve on these because this is a section that he led the drafting of. So, Marika, do you want to take a crack at that footnote, and we'll take a look at it next week. And if it passes muster, then we'll go that way. Otherwise, we'll put the whole thing off. How about that?
Yeah, this is Rick. And as I said, I think it could be as simple as not to be confused with accuracy, which is a different concept. I mean, something along those lines. I'm not thinking of anything more elaborate than that. So hopefully that will meet the standards.
Cool. All right. Good. Well, that's a step in the right direction. All right. So next is at the bottom of the next page, starting around 870 on the graph that's on your screen, 856 in the Word draft. Again, I tend to defer to Steve on these. What's changed here is the working group did not agree that this inconsistency was problematic, primarily on the grounds stated above, that the working group assumes that any data collected by the registrar becomes authoritative only after it is incorporated into the registry database. And then there's a footnote. Should be noted, though, that there may be exceptions. For example, the registered name holder is the person with whom the registrar holds a registration agreement, not necessarily the person the registry thinks is the registrant, because the update by the registrar wasn't instantaneous. Also see footnote 18. So I see Steve's hand up, so I'll just go to Steve.
Yeah, this is Steve. I'm okay with the change in the text. I think the footnote is a good example of the confusion between authoritativeness and accuracy, so I would just get rid of that and have a sentence about it that Marika crafts. That's fine, but I think I found the footnote pretty confusing, and so I would suggest we drop it.
I certainly had a hard time reading. Marika, are you okay with that, if we just lose the footnote but keep the change?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, for me, it's still the question, but again, I don't think it's relevant for the report here. In that case, you know, if does the registrar really consider the registry database an authoritative if they know that the person, you know, the registrant they're dealing with is not what is in the registry database? But I think it's a more a hypothetical question that we're addressing here, so I'm perfectly fine with removing the footnote.
Okay. Good deal. All right, so next one is at, on your screen, line 950. And changes, this is in the data escrow section. We got data escrow sub-teams, members on the call. I can't remember who was on that.
This
one,
I think that was Alan's group, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm right, Alan, or not?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think we did data escrow and something. I can't remember what, but.
Yeah, okay. All right, so the first one is changing relapse, accreditation relapse, to accreditation expiration.
Relapse
That's
is never
so
a word
subtle.
I used, I know. So I don't know.
Relapse, you mean, or expiration?
Relapse I certainly didn't use, so I don't know where it came from.
Okay, so we'll, unless somebody cries loudly right now, we'll accept
that's
that
a whole,
change.
That's the whole issue description, I think, was added, so I don't take responsibility for it. Termination, accreditation, relapse. I'm not sure accreditations expire. I don't think that's a... I'll bow to a registrar, but I don't think that's a term that's quite appropriate. It may terminate for cause or lack of action, but I don't think expire is the right word. I'm not sure what relapse
I think that
means.
Suggestion actually comes from our registrar liaison team, so I'm actually hoping that they have the right vocabulary for it. So if someone else has any other suggestions,
right.
Need to update it.
Tim, you've got claim to be a registrar. You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's six of one, half dozen of the other, between expiration or termination or terminates, whatever. I'm not sure it's real. It'll make that much difference. I think the point gets pretty clear either way.
Okay. Now we'll accept this one then. The next one is the sentence that says, both registrar and registry escrows follow the same system, a weekly full deposit on Sundays and a partial deposit on all of the days containing all new data since the last full deposit. I have no idea where that came from, but Marika is saying that's not correct.
It was correct before she changed one of the registries. It was meaningless, but correct.
How do we want to handle this? I mean, we don't have new language. We just, anybody want to, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, it is, Marika. I think the original reference comes from a wiki page, which apparently didn't get it right, I've been told. A way to maybe address it is to actually just take it out. I'm not really sure if it's relevant for this discussion, how that system happens or when it happens. So maybe at this stage, unless there's someone that is able to provide the correct schedule and people think it's worth including. And again, it's something I could check as well and internally to find out. But I'm not really sure if we lose a lot by just removing that sentence from the report at this stage.
I'm okay with that. Tim's okay with that. I'm not seeing cries of anguish. Why don't we just take that out? Okay, next one is 955. It's deleting under the thick whois model, which is a good thing. It's a little repetitive. It says registrars and the registries store whois data in different unrelated escrow accounts. And then adds, in the case of thick registries, personal whois data is also escrowed by the registry. This seems to be clarifying. You don't see any huge.
It's Alan. Why do we need that sentence? Isn't that the basis of the whole report?
That's the whole ballgame. I'd be okay losing that sentence. I actually...
Maybe Marika has a reason why it was added. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Marika, I think if you just need, again, an additional clarification that is the difference that would happen in the case of thick whois. I think that's the only reason why this was added. But, again, if that's already clear from the rest of the report, I'm not sure if we need it here, if people don't consider it necessary.
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially... sort of trying to encapsulate the whole ball game. So I'd be okay losing that new set. Oh, Tim, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the same thing, so I'll just lower my hand. I think the caption says data escrow in a thick whois environment. So I think it's implied unless there's some confusion about what thick whois is, but I think that's probably explained elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think better explained elsewhere. So why don't we lose that addition? Is that okay, Marika?
Yep.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah, I think we can lose it, but on looking at it, I realize in the paragraph on description, we never mentioned the term who is. We have a theoretical discussion of what escrow is, but really here we're talking about who is data. And if we add who is data in the first thing, it then becomes intuitive that if you have a name in who is data, you got to escrow it because it's part of the who is data you have.
Oh, so you're saying maybe add the word upon
data escrow is the act of storing who is data.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it falls out, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's a good catch. Okay, anything else on that topic? Otherwise, I'll roar ahead. And I think the next one is on 978, and it's adding a footnote, footnote 20-something. Trying to get to the word version.
Yeah, and this is Rick. I think this is just one a point that we've added to really highlight how important in this case it will be to have that data through a thick registry. I think it's just to emphasize the point that in a case indeed of a failure, we haven't always been able to rely on the registrar data as escrow data because it was either incomplete or formatted incorrectly. And I said there, in some of the cases, or in those instances, thick registry data has proven invaluable in actually standing up failed registries, so it's a registrar. So I think it's really just emphasizing the point from the staff perspective how valuable thick data has been in the past.
I'm fine with that, with one complaint, and that is I hate having footnotes on our conclusions sentence. Is there some other sentence in this section that we could attach that footnote to? Because otherwise, when we summarize this, we have to summarize it with a footnote, which from a drafting standpoint makes me a little bit crazy. Other than that, oh, and I see we have a cue. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is a case where I think it's not a footnote. I think it's substance. It's rather interesting information, and information which it would have been nice to have when the sub-team was talking about escrow, because it changes theory into practice. So I think this is a substantive issue that actually should be mentioned somewhere in the text. I'm not quite sure I know where. I guess there's, you know, it's probably data escrow in a thick environment. I'm not quite sure where the sentence fits or if it fits verbatim. But that sounds like a substantive issue that we should be talking about because it justifies, to some extent, the conclusion.
Right. Marika, are you okay with that approach? You willing to wordsmith that back up into that higher section?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Cool. All right. And
Tim has his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
I'm okay with the conclusion on what you're going to do with that, too. I just wanted to mention, though, that actually this is a compliance issue, in my mind. If we get to the point of registrar failure and, you know, data is not there or not formatted great or whatever, then something failed in the compliance aspect earlier on in the life cycle of that registrar. So however we address this, I think, you know, there's a compliance component here that is definitely a part of this problem, and we really should have all effort to not get to that point. I'm not saying we don't need to consider that we may be end up here, but you don't get there unless there's compliance failure along the way.
Yeah, okay. Alan?
Yeah, I think that's just echoing a truism in the world that, you know, planes only fall out of the sky when there are multiple failures and, you know, disastrous situations with regard to domain name system only happen with multiple failures. You know, in the nice simple world, we find each failure immediately and correct it and there are no disasters, but the real world doesn't work as nicely as that. So.
Yeah, and I don't think that we want to get into...
No, I'm just philosophizing
the failure. You know, they're in live dragons. Let's not tread into that zone, but we'll leave Marika the action to pull that up in the draft. Then 996. There's a recent development section. And that section has a conclusion. Oh, this is where we had language in there that we defer, and she's just amplifying that. And I think I wrote that sentence and view it as pretty friendly. Now... we go to see how we're doing on time. I think we're okay.
Next one I have is 1084.
Yeah. And this is one that we've discussed a bit, at least on the list. And we ran it out to a group of registries and had a little bit of conversation about it, but got no painful reaction. So the gist of this is that if I read the sentence, it says, the working group notes that valuable information may be learned from the PIR transition report that describes the transition of .org from thin to thick and is considering whether specification 4 of the proposed new GTLD registry agreement should serve as a model for implementation, but would welcome further community input before making a final decision on its implementation recommendation. Actually, this sentence got a little mangled, I think, Marika. Wasn't the original intent of this sentence to talk about the format of who is data? And somehow it's dropped into this. Yeah, go ahead, Marika.
Doesn't work. I think that sentence actually appears somewhere else. I need to quickly look back where it is, because I think it's in one of the sections where we actually spoke about that. I don't know if it was. I need to look back which sections we had. But this is actually more a broader point on the implementation as we were looking at the specification 4. And it's just a suggestion, as this is, again, one of the items where we may want to have a closer look at as part of our discussions on the final report if we want to provide more guidance with regard to implementation. So suggestion was to actually have it called out here, so to provide members of the community with an opportunity to actually specifically comment on that proposal, so that would help the working group making a determination whether you want to have a firm recommendation that specification should be used as a basis for implementation of this recommendation, or whether there are other models that we need to be considered or other guidance that needs to be provided. And in the meantime, I'll scroll back up to find that other reference.
Yeah, I think you're right. I now get it. So specification 4 is broader than just format of who is data, correct? It's
yes, that is correct. The start of it, I think, talks about the format and the labeling, but then I think it goes into as well which are the minimum data elements that would need to be provided. So basically, this is a specification that is now the requirement for thick GTLD registries.
Well, I think just before I get to the queue, it might be good to just remind the reader what specification 4 of the new registry agreement is all about. Just a quick summary of that. Alan, and then Steve, go ahead.
Thank you. I can support what Marika said, but not what's written. What is written implies we will make a decision. We will make a recommendation on implementation. We are not obliged to. We might decide it's too hairy a mess and we don't have the skills which the implementation team will have in conjunction with registrars who are planning to put something, you know, who have to implement what they come up with. We may well decide that we can make some suggestions or something like that, but we're not really making an implementation recommendation. And the last part of this sentence says we will. So if we add an if into it, I'm happy. But it's too specific right now. Thank you.
Well, that's a good catch. Thanks, Alan. Steve, go ahead.
I'm not sure. I think it's premature to have any reference to specification 4. This registry agreement has not been accepted or adopted by the board. It's still out for public comment as we speak. And I know I've been preparing some comments on specification 4. So I'm hoping that it's not final. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see what it adds. We'll have plenty of time if later in the process if we do make recommendations on implementation to deal with this.
Okay. Tim, go ahead.
Well, maybe I missed some things, but I was just, in regards to what Steve was saying, I think all we're saying here is that it would serve as a model. So his concern is that it might change between what we're looking at now and when the comment is on it. If that's the case, maybe we just need to pull out, a specific model that we could put in the report somewhere and refer to that. We could say it was based on specification 4 as of such and such a date. If the concern is that it's in flux, so that everybody's looking at the right thing is what I'm trying to get to. So there's no question, in other words, there might be multiple versions that people have reviewed a specification for. If that's the case, then maybe we need to just pull it out and put it in the report, the model that we're talking about that we want to have comments on.
Okay, so let me kind of replay the bidding here. This sentence is pretty soft, saying we're considering whether to take a look at this, and maybe it would serve as a model for implementation, but we're looking for input about all that, and then. I like Alan's idea of sort of further softening it by maybe changing it to say something about if the working group feels it's appropriate to make detailed implementation recommendations. I think that leaves a fair amount of room for that document to either change or not exist at all, or it's just a model. So,
Mikey, before making any possible implementation recommendation, makes it sufficiently vague.
That's a nice simple change. How about that as a way to further soften this, Steve? If we softened it that much, would you be okay leaving? I really don't want to do an actual model at this point. I don't want to go off and extract from the current version and put it in an appendix because it's undoubtedly going to change. And so I'd rather leave this pretty slushy for the next round of analysis, if you're okay with that.
That's okay. This is Steve.
Marika, pardon me? Go ahead, Steve.
That's okay with me.
Okay. Marika, I see your hand is up, and I think I thought it was an old one. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is Marika. Just to confirm that the other reference is actually in the response consistency section, and I think it's something we already reviewed. And again, that leaves it very general as well, like along the lines of the working group is considering recommending that the labeling and display requirements as outlined in specification 4 are followed. But again, noting that community input is encouraged. And I think, again, it's the same what we're trying to do here, just encouraging people to provide input and for them the working group can consider whether or not to actually make any specific recommendations in that regard.
Tim?
I guess all that's okay. I guess I just have a real issue with slushiness, and we're asking for community feedback. I mean, you're going to get slushy feedback. And what value that is, I don't know. If we're going to hold something out as a model, it should be stable. If we're asking for comments on it, that doesn't mean it can't change after the fact, but to say we're holding this out as a model and it's something that's in flux and it starts to change, how do we even know that we still want to hold it out as a model? Or we still want to consider it a model, let alone, expect consistent feedback on something that's in flux. So that's why, I'm not saying we have to develop a model, but perhaps we pull out, here's what's in specification 4 today. We're considering of using something like this as a model. You can comment on that. that might make some sense. But in all this slushiness, and then we're asking for comments, I don't know what value we're really going to get out of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And so one way to do it would be to just yank the current snapshot of Section 4. Comments closing pretty soon on that, I think. Anyway, put that in an annex, refer to it, and say this is, put the right words around it that says we acknowledge that these may very well change, and leave this language in place that says we're considering using something like this, but here's the current state of it to give you a good feel for where we're going. I think I'd be okay with that. Marika, did that make sense to you? Do you want me to replay that one more time?
No, just Rick. I think it makes sense to have it in an annex so it's easy for people to refer to, and I think that may also help with the other point that we have in the report where we talk about the display and labeling. So I think it makes it easier if people know what we're exactly talking about, and I think we can make clear in the heading to that section to say this is, in the, I don't know how they refer to it, I think it's the proposed or the revised new GTLD agreement, which is, I don't know if it's still open for public comment, or we can link to the public comment forum, basically noting that it's not a final document yet, but this is the most current version we currently have that addresses this issue.
Now, I got to circle back to Steve just one last time, because this sort of runs counter to the issue that you were raising. Are you okay with that if we put a bunch of disclaimers on it that say, look, this may very well change as a result of public comment, Steve?
Sure. That's okay with me.
Okay. All right, let's do that. Cool. Okay. Next one. Yes. Maybe we're done. I think we're done. Our timing's pretty good, too. We have 5 minutes to go. All right. Well, I think that's a good day's work. Oh, Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. I think, based on what we discussed today, I'll make the updates we've all agreed on, and maybe this is then as well the moment for me to actually start working on an executive summary so that for the next meeting we actually have a kind of final document for review. Because I'm assuming now that we're at the stage, at least from the perspective of the recommendations and some of the big conclusions, there are no major issues or things where we're changing anymore. So just want to check with the group if that's the next step we should be taking.
I would certainly support that. I agree. I think that the conclusions are not changing, and it's stable enough that we can proceed with that. Hopefully get that done. We might give the list a heads up that the draft that's coming is going to have that, so people should pay special attention to that. Try and get that pretty well signed off on the next call. That would be the goal, I think. Okay, I think that's it. With that, I'll wrap this up, and we'll see you in a week, and I think we're getting darn close to that. Thanks, all. I think this was a great refinement. Great job. Julia, you want to end the recording? We're done.
Have a good day.